Well, then, for our text tonight, if you could turn to the book of Colossians, the epistle to the Colossians, and the fourth chapter. And for my subject tonight, I'm going to take a few thoughts on the subject of prayer. And we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3 of Colossians chapter 4, which read, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Now, as believers, we know, don't we, of the importance of prayer. We're often told of it. We're often told that to cultivate our relationship with Christ, to grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, we need to cultivate and increase and continue in our prayer life. And yet, speaking from mine own experience, this is one of the hardest things that I find to do as a Christian. I remember when I was newly converted, a friend of mine said to me that we were having a prayer meeting together with a number of friends, and he said it's a lot easier to pray in public than it is to pray in private. And as a new Christian, I found that slightly confusion and even strange. Things were fresh, things were new, and I enjoyed often the communion with the Saviour that I had recently found, and this new Heavenly Father which had become mine. And yet I must confess that as the years have gone by, I have found it increasingly to be true. One can pray confidently and perhaps even often, and appear to be everything's going well, and yet really your prayer life at home in your closet can be suffering. And as a Christian, I find it a challenge to maintain my decent prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you found that to be so. I'm thankful that he helps me, and I'm sure he helps you. But we have an adversary, the devil, who hates the idea of us as believers having a relationship with Christ. So with these thoughts in mind, I preach mostly to myself, but I'm sure we can all grow and learn from these thoughts as we spend a little time looking at these verses and the examples which Christ gives us in the Gospels. So the first word we notice in verse 2 is the word continue. As believers, we are to continue. And this word has a connotations of a persistence, a devotion, a dedication, a constancy, that as believers, it's not something we pick up and choose to do on an irregular basis, but it's something that if we're to cultivate our relationship with Christ and our Heavenly Father, we're to do on a regular basis. There's a well-known story, isn't there, of Martin Luther. Once a friend of his asked, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but a friend of him once asked, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And he said, "Well, I'm working from dawn till dusk. I've got so much to do that I need to spend 3 hours in prayer." He realised that his help came from heaven, and that he needed to spend that time in prayer in order to get through the day. And I don't know about you, but if you're busy, often your prayer life is the thing that suffers most. Your prayer life is the thing which goes soonest. The Puritans used to say that as Christians, prayer is just as important as the air we breathe. We know, don't we, that a prayerlessness equals a lack of Christian integrity. It shows an increase in self-reliance. If we don't need God in our lives, then surely it means that we're self-dependent. We don't, we can get on quite fine, really, without the need to be asking God for help, for direction, to be communicating with him on a regular basis. And apart from anything else, the lack of prayerlessness shows a lack of love for Christ. And so we're going to encourage each other this evening as we look at these few verses, because we have a Heavenly Father who said that if we draw near unto him, he will draw near unto us. We have a Heavenly Father whose ears are always open to the prayers of his people, and we can return unto him. In Revelation 5, verse 8, there's a picture of the angels bringing unto God bowls full of incense, which are a picture of the prayers of the saints to God in heaven. This is a picture of something which he delights in. It's incredible to think that our Heavenly Father delights in the prayers of his saints, something which brings him joy, which he enjoys and holds in remembrance and holds almost as a trophy, the prayers of his saints. If we hold this in mind, surely this should spur us on to a greater and increased prayer life, to communication with our Father in heaven, knowing that he saves, as it were, our prayers, that he remembers them. He remembers our tears, we are told. And this is an incredible thing. But the reality is that we cannot really be a good Christian and not pray. But it is a difficult discipline. I first admit that it is a difficult discipline. And it's easy to give up when joys are gone. And when feelings are gone. When the joy of prayer goes, we often feel like we don't want to continue. It's easy to pray when we're feeling close. But George Muller, who was well-known prayer, he's known for his faith in prayer. He said these words: "It's a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone. It's as if it were no use to read the scriptures when we do not enjoy them. And as if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we ought to continue to read it. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the word of God, the less we desire to read it. And the less we desire to pray, the less we pray, the less we desire to pray." And even the greats struggled to pray. There are, despite my reference to Martin Luther, there are examples of him and letters written to friends where he bemoans the fact that because of the temptations of sin and the world, he went for long periods of time without prayer. This is not unique to individual Christians, but I'm sure it's something that we often find a challenge, and that's maintaining personal prayer with our Saviour. Well, then we're going to look at a few examples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And firstly, we're going to look at the way he continued in prayer. And firstly, before we continue, isn't it an incredible thought that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, even needed to pray? We know, don't we, as believers, that he is very God. That he was God in human flesh, and yet he felt the need to pray to his Heavenly Father. And John chapter 5, verse 19 gives us a little insight into why the Lord Jesus Christ felt the need to pray. I can read it, or you can turn to it. John chapter 5 and verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Son can do nothing of himself. I believe this points to the time when Christ had a perfect communion with his Father in heaven, and this he felt the need to continue while here on earth. It was just as important for Christ to talk to his Heavenly Father as it is for us. He needed to communicate with his Heavenly Father. He realised the importance of it, and this spurs us on to encourage us to do likewise. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, I've got a few references for us. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it shows of the way that Christ continued in prayer and some examples of when he did so. And Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So Christ prayed for long periods of time, as well as short periods of time, but he prayed before a decision was to be made. Another incredible thing that Christ consulted, as it were, his Father before a big decision was to be made. He spent time in prayer to his Father in heaven before choosing his disciples. Whether these two things are linked, I can't be sure, but I'm sure there is a distinct possibility that is the case. But before he appointed his disciples, he spent time in prayer to his Heavenly Father. And across a few pages, we look at chapter 18, verse 1, which we read earlier. And it tells us how we should continue in prayer. He teaches us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're to pray at all times. We're to pray in any situation, in any place. We're to pray when things are difficult. We're to pray when things are good, when things are encouraging. We're to pray when we're persecuted. We're to pray short prayers. We're to pray long prayers, which will keep us from fainting in the way, which will keep us strong as we walk life's journey with him. We need prayer, otherwise we will faint. We need to continue in prayer. And Luke 11, verse 9, which teaches us how, in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The Lord encourages us that if we ask, if we seek, and if we knock, these things will be opened unto us. That chapter we read was of the unjust judge. And in it, this parable, the Lord says that this unjust judge will avenge this man because of his persistence. Because he keeps coming to him asking that his request be made. And the Lord says, and shall not God judge even his own elect which cry unto him night and day? So if an unjust judge can answer the requests of someone who comes to him, then our Heavenly Father surely will, if we continue in prayer for him, to him. But this does not mean, and it warns against, vain repetitions. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, we read these well-known words. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. After he encouraged us how to pray, the Lord teaches his disciples how to pray in verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of them. We're not to repeat things vainly out of rote, but our prayers of persistence, our prayers that should continue, must come from the heart. And sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayers immediately, but this only increases to build our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The more we pray, the more we feel perhaps close to Him and in need of his presence, the more we feel close to him. As we draw near unto him, he has promised to draw near unto us. He doesn't immediately give us those things that we ask of, as we are all too familiar with. But our persistent prayer, our continuing in prayer, helps us grow as Christians. And this prayer doesn't make us more accepted. It's not a brownie point. That the more we pray, the more God will be pleased with us, because we are already accepted through Christ. There's no more that we can do. We can't bring anything more to our Heavenly Father, because we are viewed through Christ, through his righteousness. But prayer does help us grow in our appreciation for what we have been given, for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, as we grow our prayer life, as we grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we have an encouragement in these verses to continue in prayer, to be constant, to be faithful, to be regular, to be as Christ, who prayed in all situations, in times of pain, in times of fear, in times of rejection, in times when he spent preaching to multitudes, he drew to a quiet place and prayed alone. And there are much examples and encouragements for us as we look at the example of Christ and his prayer life. The second thing in these verses is, as believers, we're told to watch. Watching the same with thanksgiving. Not only are we to continue, but as believers, we are to watch in prayer. As I said, after spending time healing and teaching in his ministry, Christ drew to a quiet place and there alone prayed. Maybe this shows that as an example for us, we should spend time in prayer, because the fear of man brings a snare. It's easy, isn't it, in times of when things are going well, when man likes you, when we feel popular and confident, when we've done things which we're happy with, to forget that we need a God in our lives, to forget that we need a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And yet this is a time when the devil often comes in and trips us up. The fear of man bringeth a snare. After Christ has spent time healing and teaching, he drew to a solitary place and there prayed. We're to watch because we have an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion. And we cannot deal with Satan on our own. We cannot deal with him in our own strength, with our own efforts. We need the help of our Heavenly Father to resist the devil. And we're told that with his help, the devil will flee from us. In Matthew 26, verse 41, the Lord teaches us how to watch in prayer. Turn to that. 26 and 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we watch, we are alert. We have to be like the watchman who guards the town at night. In a time when we're particularly vulnerable, Satan can come in and trip us up, can cause us to sin. We need to watch in prayer, particularly during these times. As believers, we strive to live lives which are right with God. We don't want to offend a Saviour that we love and hold dear. The Spirit is willing, and yet we have a weak flesh. We have old sins that we're prone to return to. As the Israelites that we considered this morning, we are bent to backsliding against him. We have weak flesh. And so we need to be watchful. We need to be watchful for the wiles of the devil. We need to be watchful and on our guard when we're in situations when temptation presents itself. We need to make sure we're not putting ourselves in those situations where we're prone to sin. The apostle here encourages the Colossian church, as he does us, that we are to be alert, that we're to be watchful, that we're to be careful, and that we are to accompany our watchfulness with prayerfulness. And the other way that we are to be encouraged to pray is that we are to do so with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And the example is in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 36. Where Christ feeds the multitude, and it says in 36, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. It's another situation where Christians should be prayerful in thanksgiving. It's often a strange thing, isn't it, that we seek to give thanks to God for our food, but there is a biblical precedence for this. The Lord loves a thankful heart. In Romans chapter 1, in that list of sins, we read that neither were they thankful. And God hates an unthankful heart. And as believers, we have much to be thankful for. And often we forget this because our prayer lives can be weak. But the Lord encourages us, as he did. We have an example in Matthew chapter 15 that we are to be thankful for the small things and the small blessings which God gives us. The other way that we should be prayerful, as we're taught in these verses, is in verse 3. It says, with all praying also for us. That's most likely Paul in his imprisonment. That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. As Christians, we are to continue in prayer for ourselves, in praise and thankfulness. We are to watch, and we also are commanded that we should pray for one another. We should supplicate on one another's behalf. In Luke 22, verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about Simon Peter, who would go on to betray him. And yet he says these words. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Christ on earth prayed for his friends, prayed for his brethren, prayed for those that used him, that despised him. He prayed for his enemies on the cross. And this is the great example for us, that we are to love those who hate us, to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And interesting, isn't it? In these verses, Paul asks for prayer, not that God would release him from his bonds, but he has a God view, and he asks for a door of utterance to be opened. He asks that they would pray that he would be able to speak the gospel of Christ unto his captors. And this is an example for us, that we should pray for one another. We should pray that we may be given opportunities, that one another may be given opportunities to speak to others of Christ. And then, so how are we to pray? We've been considering a few examples of Christ and his the way that he prayed for others, how he continued in prayer. And then we look at how he prayed. In Matthew 6, verses 5 and 8, we are told that he went into his closet, that we're told that we should go into our closet to pray. We're not to go into public places. It's interesting that what we are in our private places is reflected in public. Sometimes we want to be a certain thing in public, don't we? If we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be like him in public. But unless we have that relationship with him in private, we won't be what we want to be in public. Firstly, we need to be what we ought to be in private. The hard thing is to pray and to do those things which are right when nobody can see us. It's easier to do those things which are right when people are looking on. But Christ sees the heart, the Lord sees the heart, and we must cultivate our relationship with him when we're on our own, when no one else is looking. And as Christ did, we must go into the solitary places alone to spend time with him. And we're not alone in this challenge. We're not alone despite the blessings, but we have the help of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, and these words which I mentioned this morning, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes in our weakness we can struggle even to lift our eyes up to heaven. Because of our weakness, we fail to know what we should pray for. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. And yet it says here that the Spirit helpeth us in our infirmities. He understands that we are weak. We have a Heavenly Father who understands us better than we know ourselves. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us as we pray. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us as we pray. The times when we struggle, the times when we don't know what to say, the times when we don't feel joy or passion, the times when we don't feel a need or a desire, then we must seek the help of the Holy Spirit, and he desires to help us. So then, with these thoughts in mind, may we be encouraged to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour who trod the path that we didn't have to. May he help us to follow in his steps, and to follow this great example, to cultivate our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the blessing surely will be ours as we grow in love for him, as we find out more of his will, find out more of his purposes for us, as through it we are able to mortify sin, as through it we're able to flee from the devil And we one day will spend eternity with him in heaven. Now let's cultivate this relationship with him here now on earth. And surely that will help us to long for his coming and the blessed hope of heaven at the end. Amen.